So it's Luke 6:46-49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we acknowledge and we know this lunchtime that whoever we are gathered here, that we all struggle to be obedient to you in our lives. We're those people who are often call out, Lord, Lord, but yet do not always do what you say. And so, Father, we ask that this lunchtime, that you would remind us of the importance of obedience, and that you would help each of us here to be those who not just hear your word, but also do it and put it into practice. And so we ask all these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. My wife is a primary school teacher, and yesterday they had a trip to some gardens for the end of term, and part of the school trip which they were on involved pond dipping for frogs and newts and tadpoles. So all the kids were given these nets, and the custodian very carefully gave them all instructions about what they were to do and how they were to behave. In particular, he said, make sure that you're very, very careful not to slip or lose your balance near the edge of the pond. After all, we don't want anyone falling in now, do we? And of course, one moment later, there was an almighty splash, and one of the kids was fished out of the pond, quite literally covered in pondweed, crying and absolutely wet from head to foot. See, I think that story illustrates this important link that we're talking about this lunchtime between hearing and obedience. You see, it may be that we might hear something, but yet not actually be obedient to it, with dramatic consequences, of course, for us. And in our scripture passage this lunchtime, therefore, Jesus' concern is that each of us gathered here responds rightly to his word, that we would be those who would both hear and obey. He wants us to be laying good foundations for our lives. And so he asks each of us this very searching, this very challenging question there in verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? And so this, therefore, is a question of obedience. In terms of the context here, Jesus has just finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount, as it's recorded in Luke. And what we have here is, if you like, the conclusion to his whole sermon, where he challenges us to be obedient and to put into practice what he has just been talking about. And so he asks us the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? And then from verse 46 to the end, he tells us this short story to motivate us, if you like, to be obedient to him. Now, we need to realize here that Christ is talking to those who claim to be his disciples. He's speaking to those who claim to be followers of him. But even if that isn't yet you, even if that isn't yet where you are at this lunchtime, there are some important lessons here for all of us, because surely all of us need to respond to Christ with obedience, whether that involves coming to him in faith and trust for the very first time, or whether that involves living out his word in our lives. And so then, I think there are three lessons for us this lunchtime from these particular verses that I've put there on your sheets. And the first of them is to builders. To builders. So in his teaching, it seems that Jesus often used these very kind of contrasting images to speak about those who were obedient to him and those who were not. And so you can probably remember that elsewhere, Jesus talks about two roads, maybe, or two fruit trees, one bearing bad fruit and the other bearing good fruit. But here, the particular picture which he's giving us is of two builders, each building or constructing a house. And the first thing I'd like us to notice is how similar these two groups or these two builders actually are here. And so, for instance, we can see from verse 47 and verse 49 that both of these groups hear Jesus' words. These two groups have been listening as Jesus has been preaching, so they have both heard him speak. They have both been in the same geographical proximity, if you like, of Jesus speaking, of Jesus' words going forth. Therefore, the difference between them is not whether or not they have heard his words, because of course they all have. Rather, the difference between these two groups is whether or not they are going to actually put them into practice in their daily lives. Then we can also see here that these two groups also profess to have faith in Christ as well. So in verse 46, Jesus speaks to them and says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet not do what I tell you?" So they were calling him Lord. So we aren't talking here about those enemies of the Christian church, maybe someone like Richard Dawkins, perhaps. Nor are we talking here about those people maybe in your office blocks who are open and honest about the fact that they aren't Christians. Rather, this is talking about those who claim to be Christians. It's talking about those who say, "Lord, Lord." It's talking about those people that if you stop them outside on the quayside, they would be happy to own the name of Christ and say that they were Christians. They can be found in the churches where we go, maybe, saying the liturgy, singing the songs and the choruses, and maybe actively talking about Christ using the words, "Lord, Lord." And so if we were to put these two groups of people side by side, this would mean that they are very difficult to actually tell apart. If they were here at the barge this lunchtime, they might both hear the same talk. They might both say amen to the same prayers. And they might talk about Christ and some of the things that they're doing at their local church. And so I think one lesson from all of this for us is that obedience is the test that Christ gives us as to whether or not someone is one of his true disciples. You see, there is such a thing as a false Christian. However, Jesus says here that the test of someone's discipleship is whether or not they obey him as Lord. Not whether or not they say that he is Lord, but whether or not they obey him as Lord. Now, obviously, one thing that we need to say is that obedience is not the only response that we make towards Christ. So we might also mention things like love and worship, although, of course, obedience is an integral part of both of those. But obedience is definitely one important way that Jesus highlights here that we need to be speaking about our response to him. Then I think we need to be clear as well that obedience doesn't necessarily mean that we are perfect or have everything sorted out in our lives. Rather, I think it's more a question of who is in the driving seat of your life. You see, to obey Christ means that he is the one in the driving seat of your life, even if you do from time to time try and reach over and grab the steering wheel every now and again, and I'm sure that all of us here maybe know what that feels like. Whereas if you are still in the driving seat, then that means that we aren't being obedient to him because we are still trying to live our own way, as if we were the lords and the master of our lives. Now, someone, of course, might say, "Well, I actually really struggle to be obedient to Jesus in my life." And that's why the next sub-point there on your sheet is so important, because we need to understand that Jesus is the only one who has the authority to demand obedience from us. So the reason that you obey someone often is because of who they are. So you obey the police, for instance, because they have authority over you. And it's exactly the same with Christ as well. The reason that we obey him is because he has authority over us, because he's God. One author has commented that this is something that terrorists have understood a lot more clearly than Christians have. So he says that terrorists seem to understand very clearly the need for absolute obedience to their commander. But yet many Christians, on the other hand, haven't yet understood that they actually need to be obedient to Christ in their lives. Now, of course, we don't obey Christ in any slavish way, But rather we obey him out of love because of all that he's done for us. But Jesus has got the right to demand obedience from each of his followers. He alone is the one who has the right to say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? So Jesus is saying that it's not enough just to hear him. It's not enough just to take Jesus' name on your lips every now and again. It's not enough just to respect or admire him. But rather he requires our obedience to him and his word. And if we had the opportunity to read through the rest of Luke's gospel, this is something that we would clearly see was laid out for us there. So a couple of instances of it. So Luke 8 verse 21, someone tells Jesus that his mother and brothers are waiting for him. And in reply, Jesus says, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. So both hearing and putting it into practice. And you see the same thing again in Luke 11, verse 28, where he says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and are obedient to it. And so we see that Jesus says that it's not enough just to be hearing his word and listening to it. Rather, what he requires is our obedience. Then I think he's also saying here that admiration and respect is not enough either. So someone who had great respect for Jesus Christ was Gandhi. He said, Jesus occupies in my heart the place of one of the greatest teachers who had a considerable influence on my life. And he goes on to say, I regard Jesus as a great teacher of humanity, but I do not regard him as God. And I think this is where many people around us fall down. They might respect Jesus as a good teacher. They might regard him as a prophet. They might always be well-mannered and very polite about him. They might call him Lord, Lord, but yet they stop short of obeying his word in their lives. They've never actually come to that critical and crucial point of submitting to Christ's lordship, of turning away from going their own way in their lives and starting to go Jesus' way instead. I heard a story recently, and this is a true story, about a minister who had gone to a new church where he had just taken over, and virtually everybody in the congregation had a problem with him preaching the gospel there. So what would happen is that as soon as he began to preach on a Sunday morning, they would all take out their newspapers and would start to read. They were quite happy, obviously, to sing the hymns. They were quite happy to say the prayers. If you asked any of them, then they would probably say that they were Christians. But yet they flatly refused to listen to Christ's word and be obedient to it. Now, I suspect that, of course, none of you here would ever do anything like that. However, it may be that some of us here have just slipped a bit. We have just slipped into that position where we are maybe listening to God's word, but actually deep down we've no real intention of doing what it says. Maybe we have maybe think we've tried to be obedient to it in the past, but it's been really hard, so we've lowered our standards and given up. Maybe we're actually so busy critiquing the guy who's speaking that we aren't really listening for what God has to say to us from his word. Maybe we've actually just been in church for so long, or maybe we feel that we've been exposed to so much really good teaching that the time's now come that we are really just going through the motions in our Christian lives. Maybe perhaps we think it's something that we can put off until we are older, or put off until later. And so actually, when we listen, we may as well be reading the newspaper at 11 o'clock or whatever time it is on a Sunday morning, because in reality we've no real intention of actually putting into practice what's being talked about. And so I think the first thing Jesus has for us here from this story is a real warning. There's a warning here for us. You see, these two builders remind us that we can actually look very like the real thing and yet not be. And so Jesus' challenge to each of us is, are we obeying him? What's his attitude? What's our attitude when his word is being taught? Have we realized that he alone is the one who has every right to demand our absolute and unqualified and unquestioning obedience in absolutely every area of our lives? And so we have these two builders, but then we also see two foundations. So these two builders may look alike, but where they differ is in the contrasting foundations that they lay. And so we have this contrast laid out for us. So in verse 47 to verse 48, we get this snapshot of the one who obeys. So this guy gets up very early in the morning. He goes to survey the site, which he has. He's already acquired all the relevant details about the soil and the rock type and the stability of the surrounding area. And then he starts work. He digs deep and he builds the foundation of his house right on the rock beneath. And he's the one who Jesus said obeys his word. In contrast to him, of course, in verse 49, is the one who does not obey Jesus' words. He is the guy who sleeps through his alarm clock. He wakes up late, and when he reaches the plot for his house, he really can't be bothered laying a foundation. And so he says to himself, you know what? You know what I will do? I think I'll just go straight ahead and we'll build on the dirt, on the ground itself. I'm sure things will probably be okay. After all, what can go wrong around here? And so what does the foundation refer to here? Well, here I think we see clearly that the foundation that we need to lay is obedience to Jesus' words. Now, God's word speaks of this concept of foundations in a number of different ways. So, for instance, 1 Corinthians 3 speaks about building our ministries on the foundation of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 speaks about the church being built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. Hebrews 6 verse 1 speaks about the foundation of the gospel being laid in terms of repentance and faith in an individual's life. However, we need to say that none of those are how Jesus speaks about foundations here. Because here Jesus is saying that the foundation is even not himself. It is not hearing his words. It's not even believing the right stuff about who he is or having the right theology. Here the foundation that he's talking about is the foundation of obedience. That is, putting his words into practice. And so notice here that he says, it's the one who hears my words and does them is the one who is like a man building his house who digs deep and lays the foundation. And so the foundation here is that of obedience, working God's word out in your life. You see, this is not even saying that God's word is the foundation for your life. Rather, it's saying that obedience to God's word is the foundation for your life. And so I think one implication of this is that in some sense in our Christian lives, we are always laying the foundation. We are always laying the foundation by obeying God's word, and that's what ultimately leads to a stable Christian life. And you can see something about what an obedient Christian life might look like from the sermon which Jesus has just finished preaching here. In it, he says that his faithful followers are those who lend to those in need. They are those who forgive others rather than nursing a grudge. His followers aren't the kind of people who wag their fingers at others, but rather sort their own lives out first. And then it's something else I think that Jesus wants us to notice from this, is that digging the foundation is really hard work, and it's laborious and time-consuming. In fact, if you noticed it as we read through it, the text here really emphasizes this. So literally, verse 48 there says that this man dug, and he dug deeper, and he laid the foundation. And so we can really imagine this guy out there, sweating in the heat of the day, digging his foundation, working hard, while the other guy, well, he's either asleep or he's already moved in to his house. And this reminds us that we should expect obedience to Christ to be costly and hard work in our lives. Most of us shy away from anything that's hard, and maybe we'd love the Christian life to be easy. But this is saying that the Christian life is as hard as digging a deep trench in the dirt in the middle of the day under the Palestinian sun. And we know, of course, that many of the things that I've just mentioned are really hard. Loving enemies, not nursing a grudge, forgiving others, not being self-righteous, sorting out our own lives rather than wagging the finger, lending to people in need. And yet Jesus says that is how we must live if we want a solid foundation. And so it's worth each of us asking ourselves, how deep are the foundations that we are digging at the moment? Are we digging deep foundations and seeking to obey Christ at every level of our life? Or if we're honest, Are we really doing a sort of clean-up act? Are we digging shallow foundations, and there are actually areas of our lives deeper down that remain completely and utterly untouched by Christ's lordship? See, hey, Jesus is saying we need to be paying attention to the foundations that we are digging. But then the obvious question is, why go to all this hard work? Why go to this hard, sweaty work of laying the right foundations? And that leads us to our final point, which is two results. And so we see that the two foundations lead to two different and contrasting results. So one day, these builders are in their homes when a flood warning comes on the radio. It's raining in the hills, the river has burst its banks, and now the floodwaters are surging towards town. The waters are crash against the side of the house that has a foundation, but it stands firm and it stands stable because it's well built, as it says at the end of verse 48. However, when the floodwaters hit the other house, it's completely washed away and destroyed, and nothing remains. Verse 49 reminds us that it immediately fell, and its ruin was very great. And so the reason why it's worth obeying Christ, the reason why it's worth going to the time and the effort of laying a proper foundation of obedience, is because it will enable you to stand when the floodwaters hit. When the same size earthquake hits in California and in Bangladesh, the destruction in Bangladesh is so much greater because fewer houses there have good foundations, and so they fall down more easily. And it's the same in life. Those who have a foundation of obedience to Christ will stand firm, whereas those who do not will be swept away. Now, Luke here doesn't tell us exactly what the flood coming refers to, but the principle, I think, certainly applies to suffering and hardship in our lives. So when the hard times of life come, as we know that they will, it's the person who obeys God who will be able to stand firm. The floods, of course, will still come. Unemployment or bereavement or illness will strike. But a life of obedience to God now is the best possible preparation that there is for standing firm and keeping going in the difficult times. If you obey Jesus now, then that puts you in a solid position to stand in life's trials. However, I think there's also a reference here to God's judgment as well. So Ezekiel 13:13 refers to God's judgment as a rainstorm that comes against us. And so what this is saying here is that only those who are genuine disciples, only those who obey Jesus' words and are not just hearers only them are the ones who can be sure of standing on the last day. Now, we're obviously saved by our faith, not by our works, but even our faith is part of our obedience to Christ's commands. And the way, of course, that faith works its way out is in a life of obedience as we seek to live according to his commands as well. And so the contrasting fate of these two houses is meant to impress on each of us the importance of the choice that we have whether to obey Christ in the present. See, I believe that the Christian life is basically made up of lots of very small choices every day about whether we choose to be obedient or not. If we choose to obey him, then we build a deep foundation and we build a life that will stand on the last day. But if we choose not to obey him, then we neglect our foundation and risk building a life that will be ruined and destroyed and washed away. And so Jesus warns us, he lays this very stark choice before us. What kind of builder are you? Are you a cowboy builder? Are you like the lazy builder here who hears God's word but does not put it into practice? Or are you more like the hard-working builder who digs a deep foundation of obedience in his life and whose house stands firm? See, one of the dangers for many of us here is surely that we have so many good opportunities to hear God's word that it just becomes very easy for it just to wash over us. However, the challenge from this passage that Christ wants to give each of us is make sure that you are doing the hard work of obedience. Make sure that you aren't just slipping back into spiritual neutral gear. Make sure that you keep working the word out into your life. As James says later on in the New Testament in James 1, verse 21, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Rather, do what it says. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we want to repent this lunchtime of those many times when we say, Lord, Lord, but yet we do not do what you command. We ask for your forgiveness, and we ask that we would be those who are obedient disciples, those who are digging deep foundations out of love and commitment to you, and those whose lives will stand firm on that last and final day. And we ask all of these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.